Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage, where every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, we bring you information on real estate and finance.
Yes, and we have in the studio with us Rick Mangan of Mangan Wealth Management. Thanks again for being here.
Absolutely.
And we're
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're having the exciting talk about taxes.
Hot tax talk today.
Oh, yeah. Hot tax talk. Dead sexy. Just like when we talked about mortgage insurance.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Dead sexy.
That's right. Yeah. You know, deduct this.
Hashtag deduct this.
There you
right?
go.
I love it. I'm going to put that on Twitter. I love it. But so we've already covered stuff about interest deduction. We talked about standard and personal deductions and an effect on itemizing. And you were asking at the end of the last segment, Eric, about the 20% business pass-through.
Business pass-through, which translate that into English for us, Rick.
Yeah.
Basically, there's going to be a deduction that could be up to 20% of the business income that passes through to you. And the pass-through income could come from S-corporations, LLC, sole proprietors, or the primary sources of that.
Okay, so okay. I have a small business. It's a sole proprietor, a LLC, and S-corp. I make money, and when I file my business income, it passes through to my personal income tax return because I'm mm-hmm. on those types of businesses, I'm taxed at the personal rate. So that pass-through, you're saying, there may be a 20% discount in the reportable income that I have to pay taxes on.
Yes, that's correct.
And so is that like really awesome for me? Because I'm an S-corp.
It could be, yeah.
It could be.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically the pass through and this 20% deduction was really more of an afterthought in this tax bill. Again, the primary focus was getting that C corp tax rate down, and they dropped mm-hmm. that from 35% to 21%, which is
huge drop.
40% mm-hmm. drop, huge, right? And so as they looked at that, they decided, well, you know, if we're going to drop the C-Corp rates, we have to do something for the pass-throughs.
Wouldn't be fair for all those other businesses.
Right.
Well, yeah. And historically, there's been, the C-Corp has a two levels of taxation. And so the pass-throughs typically at the top rates give about a 10% lower tax rate mm-hmm. than having it flow through the C-Corp and then have the dividends mm-hmm.
sure.
be taxed at the second level. And so if they hadn't done this, it would have been the C-Corp and the pass-throughs would have been much, much closer. And so this 20% actually expands with that difference is back up close to that 10%.
Okay, otherwise we would have seen a flood of people converting their businesses to C-Corps.
Totally,
that's what would have happened.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they didn't want to induce that much chaos
right.
at one time. But so this pass-through came through. And so, first off, this is still in its infancy, right? They just created it. The regulations haven't been issued yet. The people who voted on it don't understand it. The people who wrote it don't understand it. And so
business as usual is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And so, basically I'll get started on kind of how it goes, I guess. And the deduction is limited to 20% of your qualified business income. And so where you start is really, though, at your taxable income level. And so there's a threshold there. And so if you're married, that threshold is $315,000. If you're single, it's $157,500. And so if your taxable income is below that threshold, then you are going to get that 20% of your qualified business income deduction. And so that would be for all pass-throughs, whether you're in the professional services industry or not. Mm-hmm. So that would be, that's the, kind of the first test. If you're below that level, then you're going to get that deduction, and it's going to be calculated pretty much on what your taxable income is from that business.
Okay, got it. Can you give an example of that?
Well, let's say, Eric, that you have an S-corporation and you draw you're married, mm-hmm. and you draw a salary of $80,000, you have a pass-through income maybe of $120,000, and your spouse does not work. So
okay.
your total personal income comes in at $200,000.
Yeah.
And so $120,000 of that was the pass
through. The pass through from my business, from my LLC or whatever. Okay.
To that. And so, you know, 20% of that, $24,000.
Sweet.
That's your deduction.
Okay.
So that's your extra deduction you get from this
okay.
tax act.
Very straightforward. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm kind of digging that.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm sure there's more because I'm looking at you have a graph on your desk there which looks like sort of a Rube Goldberg machine or something, you know. So it looks a little bit complicated. So yeah lead us on here.
There's a flow chart here to try to help understand this thing because just reading
is
the
that
verbiage,
like a Venn diagram or something like if this then that and
exactly.
Okay,
that's exactly what it is. That's why I said if you're below the threshold, that's the easy part. Let's start there and knock
okay.
that out.
There you go.
So you know, the next thing is let's say you're income is not below the threshold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now, you know, the next question would be, is your business a specified service business? And so what they did is they targeted really, you know, attorneys, doctors, and really any trade that involves health, law, accounting, actuarial.
Real estate.
Performing arts, financial services, brokerage services, real estate, as far as I see it, my interpretation is no right now that wouldn't qualify, but.
Oh, really?
Financial services, I don't think real estate sales would fall under financial services.
It depends on who you're talking to, because sometimes mm-hmm. they do categorize this and that, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, right.
There's the catch-all. The principal asset of the business is the reputation or skill or one or more of its employees.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the catch-all there. But, you know, as far as I read it, that wasn't a targeted group.
Right.
And one thing they specifically carved out is having it not apply to is engineering and architecture. So, mm-hmm. which I found interesting. That's certainly a service by most definitions. But, you know, basically I think it came down to, will they help build stuff? And so they wanted to target people that are building stuff here.
Okay.
Interesting.
Kind of makes sense.
Okay.
So let's say that you are, you know, if you are a specified service, then you're going to be subject to a phase out. Of the
okay.
deductions.
Like a lot of things.
Like a right. lot of things. And so if you're married, that phases out over $100,000 from 315 to 415. Singles, that would phase out, there's a phase out range of $50,000, which would phase out between $157,500 and then $207,500. Where basically, and it's pretty much a straight line phase out. So you get, it would just be reduced all the way down. Until you exceed that deductible limit. So that's okay. how that works. If you are not a specified service, then what happens is there's this wage capital factor that comes in.
Wage capital factor?
Okay,
what
love
is that?
That. Okay.
So you basically are... The deduction is limited to the lesser of 20% of your qualified business income or the greater of 50% of your W-2 wages. And then there's a caveat for kind of the real estate investments, which is 25% of W-2 wages plus 2.5% of the unadjusted basis of an LLC's assets.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. I know. My head's swimming right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how much you really could cover on the air on that. But
yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I'm pretty glad you're willing to be
here.
In that nerd world because.
Okay. So, okay.
Wow.
So, the reason that last one was in the 2.5% of the unadjusted basis is because a lot of the real estate investments don't have employees necessarily.
You'll have
a property manager. Mm-hmm. You know, they handle kind of that, but you don't have direct employees. And
right.
So if we were going to limit it to the wage factor, then it's going to be at zero.
I see.
Right?
I see what you're saying.
And so now
okay.
you get that 2.5% of the unadjusted basis
okay.
As the deduction. So if we were to say, you know, you bought $1 million, you had $1 million property,
mm-hmm.
And that was your basis. You know, 2.5% of that is $25,000, and mm-hmm. so where you didn't have any wages, you would have had a zero deduction. Now you get potentially a $25,000 deduction under that test. And then you would take it against your other, do you have the qualified business income that would also support a $25,000 deduction or not?
Okay, interesting. All right, so.
It sounds like my taxes are going to get seriously complicated.
A little bit complicated there, yeah, yeah.
Really right. complicated between okay. a business and multiple rental properties mm-hmm. and all of the, oh man.
So what if I just have a rental property? Yeah, okay, just sort of, so now let's put your financial planner hat on top of your CPA hat. Mm-hmm. And I am buying an investment property. It's my first rental. And I'm trying to decide, do I set up an LLC to run my rental? Or do I just keep that as on the individual side? On the individual side, I'm going to put it on my Schedule E on my tax return. But if I set up an LLC, then that becomes a pass-through business. So let's say I make more than $200,000 a year. And what would be the best way to structure that? Should I still do the LLC?
Yeah, very likely you're going to want to do the LLC, and a lot of that has to do with legal reasons.
Sure. I mean, that aside, from a liability perspective, that's always a good idea. Sure, absolutely. From a mortgage side, though, guys, the loan itself, if you're taking out mm-hmm. a residential mortgage, 1-4 unit property does need to be in your name as an individual with most cases, most lenders. However, you can still set up an LLC and interact with your tenant that way. But if I have rental income in an LLC, that 20% pass through is still a possibility?
It is. Well, the LLC, if you're the single owner, mm-hmm. it's going to be that entity will be disregarded anyway, so it'll be reported the same way.
Right.
There is, that would still be a possibility to get that deduction. And so, a lot of rentals have very little income after mm-hmm. you get the mortgage interest deduction, you get the depreciation and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So it'll be probably targeted more towards rentals that either was heavily invested in cash with little debt financing mm-hmm. or rentals that have been around for a long time.
Fully depreciated, that's sort of a thing.
Right.
So, okay. All right. And then that's going to be actually time to talk about something I want to ask you about when we come back from our break. And that's going to be some of the other provisions, if they stayed or not, including a 1031 tax-deferred exchange.
Yes.
So stay tuned. We've got more information coming with Rick Mangan from Mangan Wealth Management talking about the new tax laws. Call us if you got questions, 866-712-1300.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.